From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. We have spent a lot of time on this show talking about the Rio Grande area and some of the challenges that this part of our downtown has. Joining me today will be Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown and Lana Dalton, the social work manager with the police department. We'll talk about Operation Diversion, a new program that the police department launched in conjunction with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, the district attorney, the county jail, and behavioral health professionals. We'll also talk about what else can be done in this neighborhood to help turn things around. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by one of my dearest friends, Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown. Chief, thanks for being here.
No, thank you, Jason.
Also joining us today is Lana Dalton. Lana is the social work manager for the Salt Lake City Police Department. And Lana, that's kind of an unusual position in police departments. Not every police department across America has a social work manager. Is that right?
That is correct.
Could we spend just a couple minutes talking about your role? You're a fairly new position in the police department. What do you do and how are you helping to work as a social worker embedded within the police department? What's your focus and area of expertise?
Our focus is around the Rio Grande area to assist individuals that are experiencing homelessness or are in crisis. And so if those individuals are experiencing those things, they can come into our walk-in center, which is called the Community Connection Center, and they can obtain services. So whether that be case management, short-term therapy, or access to other services within the community. Our whole goal is to remove barriers and improve access for people down there to obtain services and treatment.
And Chief, that's not always the role of a police department. I mean, that maybe there's other police departments that do that, but it seems pretty innovative, and it also, I think, underscores sort of the compassionate, holistic approach that our police department takes here in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, no, I actually think it's very much thinking outside the box, yeah. And I think Salt Lake City is leading the way, so to speak, on this front. You know, I've done this job for 26 years, and I can't tell you how many arrests we've made trying to arrest our way out of the homelessness issue or the addiction issue or the mental health issue. Mm-hmm. Finally, we have a social worker program where we can actually start treating and helping people rather than trying to incarcerate them and think we're going to make them better or whole that way.
Right, right. You probably didn't coin this phrase, but I heard it first from you and I always associate it with you. You can't arrest your way out of this crisis. And it's not illegal to be homeless. It's not illegal to be mentally ill. It's not illegal to have a drug addiction problem or an alcohol problem. But sometimes the behaviors that result from those things do have people do create crimes or they do cause unsafe situations, and that's, I think, where you have been asked to step in and play a role. One thing I think is kind of unfair is we always ask the police department to step in and do the most difficult things in our society because we don't know who else to call. We don't know what else
to
do.
Yeah,
so
no.
Something bad is going down, call the police, and you guys have to try to solve the problem, whatever that problem may be.
Yeah, no, I mean, I said recently that the police department can no longer be the Swiss Army knife of social reform.
Yeah.
And but yet, so many times, you're absolutely right. When there's a problem or issue, and nobody else knows who to send or go, they send the police.
Yeah.
And many times we're dealing with social issues.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was asked, social workers, really, Chief? Is that the best use, or is that where they should be? And I said, yes. Finally, yeah. We can control our destiny. And Lana and her little team have done fantastic work.
Well, Lana, let's talk about that a little bit. I know you came armed with some statistics today.
I did.
Can you maybe share how long the program's been in existence and some of the successes that you've seen quantifiably? What do the numbers look like, and how many people are you helping through this program?
Yeah, so we opened our doors on July 19th of this year. And in about a one-month period, we've seen over 420 people come through our doors. And that's pretty impressive, mm-hmm. especially in that area. And they're all seeking out something, whether that be, you know, assistance with transportation to assistance with treatment. We see all spectrums, and we try to get them connected with the most appropriate services. Right now, we have direct access to substance use disorder treatment as part of the treatment beds that were associated with Operation Diversion. And we've seen over 120 people come through our door for substance use disorder treatment. And that's pretty significant, I would say, because that population down there, we probably see, would you say, Chief, about 1,000 to 2,000 people down there maybe on a daily basis?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And even more in the hot summertime months. Yeah.
When it cools off, it gets a little bit less popular down there. But but we've had such a warm fall that it feels like it hasn't tapered as much.
Right, yeah. Right.
I did want to talk about Operation Diversion a little bit from my perspective and from a perspective of the businesses in that neighborhood, whether it's the folks at Art Space or the state folks at the Rio Grande Depot. Operation Diversion, a huge success, an immediate change in the street. We've talked about it before, and we've talked about it on the show before, but can you maybe give people a sense of how Operation came to be and the way that it's different than maybe approaches that you've used in the past in that neighborhood?
Sure. I mean, Operation Diversion was partners and agencies coming together to look at a holistic approach of the problem that we see down and around the Rio Grande area. It was the Salt Lake City Police Department. It was the Unified PD, mm-hmm. the Sheriff's Office, District Attorney Sim Gill, the Legal Defender's Office, Tim Whalen and Valley Behavioral Health. It was a whole host of people coming together and looking at the whole process differently. The intent was not to arrest people, but to take people and put them into some sort of treatment or diversion.
Yeah.
And so the whole concept was, some of the activity was illegal, but instead of putting people in jail, there was another option or another door, and that door was treatment.
If appropriate, because you did arrest some people who needed to go to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some people that went to jail. Some bad people needed to go to jail, and they did.
Yeah. But it wasn't one size fits all. It's not that everyone who gets picked up as part of this. And I want to be really clear, it was not a sweep. You didn't go in and arrest everybody in the neighborhood. You targeted very specific criminal behavior, and you were able to know sort of who to focus on because you did a lot of surveillance in advance.
Right. We went in. We knew who was dealing the dope. Mm-hmm. If you were down there to sell dope, we took you to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the appropriate place for you. If you were buying dope, you probably have an addiction problem.
Yeah.
So we had a criminal charge, but working with the Legal Defender's Office, Sim Gill's office, and Lan and her team in the processing you did, maybe you can explain that. But if you qualified for treatment, we had beds available so that you could go. I mean, if you really needed that help, We called you on it, and we put our money where our mouth was, and we put people in treatment.
And people who are involved in this type of work may understand how unusual that is, but I think a lot of listeners might not be aware of the fact there aren't just a bunch of empty beds available for people who have substance abuse problems to go into. Like there's not some magical hospital someplace that can provide care for all of these people that you can just waiting for these people to decide that they're ready for help that they can go into. So the coordination that you did in making sure that you did have beds available for people was pretty unusual. The coordination you did with the jail to make sure that jail space was available for those people who did need to go to jail, who had committed serious crimes. There was a lot, and I think my perspective before becoming more intimately involved in all this was that the jail was just available, and if the police needed to take people to jail, they could. That hasn't always been the case. That my perception was that there were always beds available. If somebody had a substance abuse problem, you go into treatment and you get it taken care of. That's not always the case.
No.
And so you guys had to work a lot of stuff out to make sure that those resources were available before you even started going in and taking people off the street.
Yeah, there was a lot of moving parts to this operation. But the whole focus was past practice, and we had done numerous of operations down in the Pioneer Park area. We've arrested hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people, taken them to jail, mm-hmm. and thought we had solved the problem. In fact, we were proud of our work, and little did we know that incarceration was probably the least effective and most expensive.
Yeah.
And many times, people were out within 2 or 3 hours of us booking them in jail.
Yeah, you guys, I've heard police officers say they spend more time doing the paperwork than the people actually would spend in jail, which is so frustrating.
Yes, but really, this was very forward-thinking people, Mayor Biskupski, mm-hmm. Mayor McAdams, looking at a problem holistically and then saying, this is probably how we should do it. And seriously, I honestly think it is the future.
Yeah.
We can't, like I say, we can't arrest our way out of this problem. We need to start healing people.
Yeah. Lana, what do you think you would say? And I want to be clear, too. I don't want to sugarcoat anything. The situation is not solved in that neighborhood. by a long shot. There still are challenges. There still are needs. The whole homeless site selection process that we're going through, decisions that we're making as part of the county's collective impact process about how services are provided, all of these things are still in the work, and I think are making long-term will make significant differences and significant improvements. But there's still a daily issue, a daily need for improvement in that neighborhood. But with that as background, I wanted to ask Lana, what do you see as success? What are you the most proud of about the work that you've done in just a few short months, really since July? What do you see as success? What are you the most proud of? And what do you want to focus on in the next year, in the next 6 months?
I think the biggest thing is the collaboration. I am proud to say that I was part of Operation Diversion and the results that came out of that. I think it's impressive. I really haven't heard of anything else like that across the nation as a social worker. That is something that took place with all of these different entities coming together and collaborating on that front. And so I think the work that's been done and continues to be done on that front with getting people access to treatment and following through and following those individuals to see how they do has been fantastic. What I see for the upcoming year, we actually get to move into a larger space. So we're actually doubling our size, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We're looking at getting about 3 more social workers on board to help with this issue down in that area. We're going to kind of bring all of our bike officers and our homeless outreach service team officers and crisis intervention team officers all into one location and show presence down there and have kind of a welcoming facility that individuals can come to for either access to services or to talk with an officer. Something that I've noticed is that by having social workers be involved with officers, it seems to kind of ease that relationship a little mm-hmm. bit, and it allows them to be a little bit more approachable, where I think that sometimes, you know, if you see the guy with the gun and the badge, it can be intimidating.
Well, it conveys authority. Like, yeah. That's the point of wearing a uniform, to convey authority. And if you're somebody in your life where maybe you don't like authority for whatever reason, that can be intimidating. That can be scary.
And so I think by bringing these two entities together, we've done a really good job of showing that. And I hope to foresee the collaboration and that continue to gain trust with the community, to continue to provide services to those individuals that are wanting it.
That's great. You know, Jason, Lana's a little bit humble about the work she's doing down there.
Well, that's why you're here.
Yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, right after Operation, the third wave of Operation Diversion, Lana and her team, the very next day, went out, social workers and the host officers and the CIT officers, and without any arrest, they went out and contacted people in the same manner, mm-hmm. but voluntarily were able to place almost as many or more than we did during mm-hmm. Operation Diversion. So what we did is we took what we learned in Operation Diversion and put it into a daily practice. And so right now, Lana and her team go out every day and find these people without tons of resources, without a lot of arrests, and put them into these beds that where they can get better.
Yeah.
It's a model that people from across the country are starting to go, hey, Salt Lake's doing something.
Yeah.
And so the city of Anaheim mm-hmm. was here just a few weeks ago looking. I think we've got some more inquiries from other states. And we are expanding our social worker program.
That's great.
We're going from 5 to 8, mm-hmm. and then in a few, maybe 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to move into a much bigger area.
Bigger space.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the future of this neighborhood, about the remaining challenges, about additional community needs that could be helpful in addressing this. Again, joining me today, Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown and Lana Dalton. Lana is the social work manager for the police department, talking about the Rio Grande neighborhood. This is a subject we've talked about a lot on this show. A progress update today, if you will, and then talking a little bit about plans for the future through the winter and into next spring. We will be right back after these
messages.
Back. You're listening to Downtown SLC. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, my friend, Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown, and Lana Dalton. Lana's a new friend. I haven't known you as long. We just met yesterday.
Yes.
But Lana is the new social work manager for the Salt Lake City Police Department, having kind of a unique role in a police department, in the role of social work and outreach to people who may be homeless or who may have addiction issues or mental health issues. Should point out, not everyone in the Rio Grande neighborhood is homeless. There are a lot of people there who may be there for other reasons as well. But Lana and her team are being very successful in talking to people who have some challenges, maybe committing some crimes, but the underlying issue is not that they're criminals. It's usually that they have mental health issues or addiction problems, and you're really working in an innovative way to try to address that.
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about what's your day like on a daily basis, Lana? Like, you know, I think it's a unique job that you have to be working with this population embedded with the police department. What happens on sort of a daily basis down there?
Our facility is open from 8 to 6, Monday through Friday. And what happens is we open the doors, and we usually have about 10 people that walk through the doors immediately. And we don't even have to go out anymore to try to find people. Now that the word is out that we are there and we're offering the services that we offer, people are just coming to us, which is fantastic. And we're able to offer them services on the spot that day, which is really unheard of in a lot of the different agencies in the county currently, just because they're so overwhelmed with everything else that's going on in their existing caseload. So it's really nice to have a little bit of an outlet for them, as well as for our officers, to allow us to address the problems that are down there in a way that is evidence-based and provides that service for those individuals that are there.
Yeah, I probably have addiction issues of my own, but none relate to opioids or heroin. But, you know, I think it must be difficult for some, maybe not everybody, but it's difficult for some people to get to that point where they say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to change my life. Like, mm-hmm. Now is the time to change. And so frequently, I think when that's happened for people, there haven't been resources to meet their needs. When they're ready to walk through the door and say, I'm not going to live this way anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm turning my life around. I'm going to go through the very, really difficult job of recovery and letting go of my addictions, that's a difficult thing to do. And so, you know, probably not everybody who walks through the door feels that way, but for a lot of people, that's a moment of truth for them to say, I'm going to make a change in my life. Even if it doesn't stick, at least at that moment, they're ready to try to do something different. So it's pretty amazing that you have those resources available to help those people out.
Yeah, and recovery is not linear. You're going to see these bumps and in the road and whatnot. And so we always welcome those individuals to come back and re-engage with us and try again. I mean, that's what that's about. It's, you know, fall how many times and get back up the last one and you keep moving forward, right?
Yep.
And so that's what we're trying to portray to the community. And it's not just individuals, I think, that are reaching out to us, but it's family members. It's individuals that are concerned about their loved ones that may be in that area. And we try to go out and find those individuals and make contact with them and say, you know, then report back if we can to the families to let them know if they're okay or not.
Yeah.
And if they've agreed to accept treatment or not, if the person that is engaging with us allows us to do so.
Yeah.
And Jason, I think you hit on an important note there. That moment of truth, or timing is everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people will be arrested for possession and go to court, and they'll be ordered to go into some sort of drug treatment.
Yeah.
But that bed may be 8 to 10 months away. And so
they get released.
Yeah,
8 to 10 months.
Yeah, you're ordered to treatment, but you're waiting for that bed for 10 months.
Yeah.
In 10 months, that's a long time. That's a lifetime for that treatment. And so some people relapse and never make it to that bed.
Yeah.
So if Lana can get her hands on those people that truly want to make that change right now, and that bed's available, I think slowly but surely we can start changing the climate down there.
Yeah. So I want to say what prompted our conversation today was yesterday, Wednesday, the Downtown Alliance took a little thank you gift to all the officers. We bought lunch for everybody down there just to say thanks and recognize it's a difficult job that Lana, your social workers and Chief, your police officers are doing in that neighborhood. People get spit on, they get yelled at, they deal with really difficult people, they deal with assaults. You know, it's not easy, and you know, a little barbecue probably isn't thanks enough, but we wanted to say thank you. And then the reason, one of the biggest reasons I want to have you on today is to say thank you publicly. Like, it's one thing to say thanks to somebody privately. I feel so fortunate that in Salt Lake City we have such great, great police officers who care about protecting the community and the safety of the community and put their lives on the line every day to do that. So I really want to say that publicly.
Very, very kind, Jason.
It's
thank
not
you.
Kind. It's I'm not that nice. I really am not. Well, I'm not that nice.
Well, I will say that was a wonderful barbecue from R&R. It doesn't get better than that. That's pretty good. So everybody really enjoyed that.
We thought about spa treatments for everybody. It didn't seem like the right fit for police. I don't know. Maybe some people would like that.
But, you know, I said earlier, Jason, the Downtown Alliance has been a partner through thick and thin with us. So, you know, you've always been there. Good times, bad times. And so we appreciate that. But, you know, the climate in the country, as people look at law enforcement, is a little bit different here in Salt Lake City. I truly feel our community truly, they really do support us. I mean, there isn't a day go by that somebody doesn't come up and tap me on the shoulder, shake my hand, or just say, hey, I want you to know we appreciate what you do. So I honestly think, and this sounds a little bit weird, but I think we're a little better here in Salt Lake City.
I think that's true. I don't deny that at all. I think I feel very fortunate that we are in such a good place in this community. Chief, if we've got just a minute or two before we wrap up. What additional resources could the community bring to help you in this neighborhood, help you in your area efforts? Is it more jail beds? Is it more treatment? Is, you know, what if you could wave a magic wand, what would help you continue your effort to clean up this part of our downtown that is so troubled?
Well, yes to everything you just said.
All of the above.
Yes, but I mean, I think in talking with Sheriff Jim Winter, I mean, I know that he has a plan for a diversion type program built within a jail.
Yeah.
I think we should truly support that.
Yeah.
Jail space? Yes, there is a time when somebody needs to go to jail. And
there should be space available for them when that happens.
There should be. And that was a very important part of Operation Diversion, that if you were committing crime and you needed to go to jail, Sheriff Winter made the place and the space. And so that's important. But a lot of times, until people know that there's a consequence for their actions, they're not willing to maybe make the change they need to.
Yeah.
Or if they're high on that drug, if they never sober up, they don't realize the mess their life has become.
Yeah.
And so there's that moment of truth we're looking for, and then we need those beds.
Yeah.
We do. I mean, 26 years I've been doing this, we've arrested hundreds and thousands of people thinking we're going to heal them with incarceration. We can't
we
do
need
that.
The treatment.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's something the Downtown Alliance will be working on. A high priority for us this year at the legislative session will be expanded Medicaid coverage, really trying to get treatment available for people who have no other recourse but who desperately need mental health care and substance abuse treatment, because that's the only way their lives are going to change. And we know that, and it has an impact on downtown. So that's going to be top priority for us at the legislature this year. You guys, thank you so much for your work. I can't say it enough. We really appreciate it, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Anytime, Jason. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. You've been listening to Downtown SLC. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.